Good day to you all, and welcome to this 24th day of March. It is day 81 in our journey through the scriptures. Hello out there to everyone. My name is Heather, and I am here with you on Sundays. And we are going to do what we do every day here. We are coming to the scriptures together because they bear witness to Jesus, our source of life. We are joining with people from around the world, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures so that we might see Jesus, and in doing so, recognize our life in him and his life in us, and warm ourselves together around the fire of God's love. Today we'll be reading Joshua chapters 18 through 20 and finishing with 1 Corinthians 9. So let's jump right in. Joshua 18. Now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle. But there remained 7 tribes who had not yet been allotted their grants of land. Then Joshua asked them, "How long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given to you? Select 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out to explore the land and map it out. They will then return to me with a written report of their proposed divisions of their new homeland. Let them divide the land into 7 sections, excluding Judah's territory in the south and Joseph's territory in the north. And when you record the 7 divisions of the land and bring them to me, I will cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord our God to assign land to each tribe. The Levites, however, will not receive any allotment of land. Their role as priests of the Lord is their allotment, and the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh won't receive any more land, for they have already received their grant of land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them on the east side of the Jordan River." As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua commanded them, "Go and explore the land and write a description of it. Then return to me, and I will assign the land to the tribes by casting sacred lots here in the presence of the Lord at Shiloh." The men did as they were told, and mapped the entire territory into 7 sections, listing the towns in each section. They made a written record, and they returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. And there at Shiloh, Joshua cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord to determine which tribe should have each section. The first allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin. It lay between the territory assigned to the tribes of Judah and Joseph. The northern boundary of Benjamin's land began at the Jordan River, went north of the slope of Jericho, then west through the hill country and the wilderness of Beth Avan. From there the boundary went south to Luz, that is, Bethel, and proceeded down to Ataroth Adar on the hill that lies south of lower Beth Horon. The boundary then made a turn and swung south along the western edge of the hill facing Beth Horon, ending at the village of Kiriath Baal, that is, Kiriath Jearim, a town belonging to the tribe of Judah. This was the western boundary. The southern boundary began at the outskirts of Kiriath Jearim. From that western point it ran to the spring at the waters of Naphtoah and down to the base of the mountain beside the valley of Beth Hinnom, at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. From there it went down the valley of Hinnom, crossing south of the slope where the Jebusites lived, and continued down to En-Rogel. From En-Rogel the boundary proceeded in a northerly direction and came to En-Shemesh, and on to Geliath, which is across from the slopes of Adumim. Then it went down to the stone of Bohan. Bohan was Reuben's son. From there it passed along the north side of the slope overlooking the Jordan Valley. The border then went down into the valley, ran past the north slope of Beth Hogla, and ended at the north bay of the Dead Sea, which is the southern end of the Jordan River. This was the southern boundary. The eastern boundary was the Jordan River. These were the boundaries of the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin. These were the towns given to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin: Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek Keziz, Beth Araba, Zemarim, Bethel, Avim, Para, Ophrah, Kephar Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba. 12 towns with their surrounding villages. Also Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephirah, Mozah, Rechem, Irpil, Tarala, Zelah, Heleph, the Jebusite town, that is, Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Kiriath-Jearim, 14 towns with their surrounding villages. This was the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Benjamin. Joshua chapter 19. The second allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Simeon. Their homeland was surrounded by Judah's territory. Simeon's homeland included Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazar Shual, Bela, Ezim, Eltolad, Bethul, Hormah, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Susa, Beth Lebaoth, and Sharhuhen, 13 towns with their surrounding villages. It also included Ain, Rimmon, Ether, and Eshan, 4 towns with their villages, including all the surrounding villages as far south as Beleth Ber, also known as Ramah of the Negev. This was the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Simeon. Their allocation of land came from part of what had been given to Judah, because Judah's territory was too large for them. So the tribe of Simeon received an allocation within the territory of Judah. The third allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Zebulun. The boundary of Zebulun's homeland started at Sarid. From there it went west, going past Merilah, touching Dabesheth, and proceeding to the brook east of Jokneam. In the other direction, the boundary went east from Sarid to the border of Kisloth-Tabor, and from there to Deberath and up to Japhia. Then it continued east to Gath-Hepher, Eth-Kazin, and Rimmon, and turned toward Neah. The northern boundary of Zebulun passed Hanathon and ended at the valley of Iphtah-El. The towns in these areas included Katath, Nahalal, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Zebulun included these towns and their surrounding villages. The fourth allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Issachar. Its boundaries included the following towns: Jezreel, Kesuloth, Shunem, Hapharaim, Shion, Anaharath, Rabith, Kishion, Ebez, Remeth, Enganim, Enhada, and Beth Pazez. The boundary also touched Tabor, Shahazuma, and Beth Shemesh, ending at the Jordan River, 16 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Issachar included these towns and their surrounding villages. The fifth allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Asher. Its boundaries included these towns: Helkath, Hali, Beten, Akshaf, Elamelech, Amad, and Mishal. The boundary on the west touched Carmel and Shehor Libnath. Then it turned east toward Beth Dagon and ran as far as Zebulun in the valley of Iphtah-El, going north to Beth Emek and Nael. It then continued north to Kabul, Abdon, Rehob, Hamon, Cana, and as far as Greater Sidon. Then the boundary turned toward Ramah and the fortress of Tyre, where it turned toward Hosa and came to the Mediterranean Sea. The territory also included Mehebel, Akzib, Uma, Aphek, and Rehob, 22 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Asher included these towns and their surrounding villages. The sixth allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Naphtali. Its boundary ran from Heleph, from the oak at Zananim, and extended across to Adami Nekeb, Jabneel, and as far as Lakum, ending at the Jordan River. The western boundary ran past Asnath Tabor, then to Hukok, and touched the border of Zebulun in the south, the border of Asher on the west, and the Jordan River on the east. The fortified towns included in this territory were Zidim, Zer, Hamath, Rakath, Kinnereth, Adama, Ramah, Hazor, Kadesh, Edri, En-Hazor, Yiron, Migdal-El, Horim, Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh, 19 towns with their surrounding villages. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Naphtali included these towns and their surrounding villages. The seventh allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Dan. The land allocated as their homeland included the following towns: Zorah, Eshta'ol, Ir Shemesh, Sha'alabin, Ajalon, Ithla, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Elteke, Gibbethon, Belath, Jehud, Bene Barak, Gath Rimon, Me Jarkon, Rakkon, and the territory across from Joppa. But the tribe of Dan had trouble taking possession of their land, so they attacked the town of Laish. They captured it, slaughtered its people, and settled there. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestor. The homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Dan included these towns and their surrounding villages. After all the land was divided among the tribes, the Israelites gave a piece of land to Joshua as his allocation. For the Lord had said he could have any town he wanted. He chose Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim. He rebuilt the town and lived there. These are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the tribal leaders allocated as grants of land to the tribes of Israel by casting sacred lots in the presence of the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle at Shiloh. So the division of the land was completed. Joshua chapter 20. The Lord said to Joshua, "Now tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge, as I instructed Moses. Anyone who kills another person accidentally and unintentionally can run to one of these cities. They will be places of refuge from relatives seeking revenge for the person who was killed. Upon reaching one of these cities, the one who caused the death will appear before the elders at the city gate and present his case. They must allow him to enter the city and give him a place to live among them. If the relatives of the victim come to avenge the killing, the leaders must not release the slayer to them, for he killed the other person unintentionally and without previous hostility. But the slayer must stay in that city and be tried by the local assembly, which will render a judgment. And he must continue to live in that city until the death of the high priest who was in office at the time of the accident. After that, he is free to return to his own home in the town from which he fled." The following cities were designated as cities of refuge: Kadesh of Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. On the east side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho, the following cities were designated: Bezir in the wilderness plain of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the territory of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, in the land of the tribe of Manasseh. These cities were set apart for all the Israelites as well as the foreigners living among them. Anyone who accidentally killed another person could take refuge in one of these cities. In this way, they could escape being killed in revenge prior to standing trial before the local assembly. 1 Corinthians 9. Am I not as free as anyone else? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord with my own eyes? Isn't it because of my work that you belong to the Lord? Even if others think I am not an apostle, I certainly am to you. You yourselves are proof that I am the Lord's apostle. This is my answer to those who question my authority. Don't we have the right to live in your homes and share your meals? Don't we have the right to bring a believing wife with us as the other apostles and the Lord's brothers do, and as Peter does? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to work to support ourselves? What soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Am I expressing merely a human opinion? Or does the law say the same thing? For the law of Moses says, "You must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain." Was God thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us, so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect a share of the harvest. Since we have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? But we have never used this right. We would rather put up with anything than be an obstacle to the good news about Christ. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple, and those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Yet I have never used any of these rights, and I am not writing this to suggest that I want to start now. In fact, I would rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me this sacred trust. What then is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law, so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. The Lesson of the Ox. In the Bible, we have these strange, obscure laws, like, don't muzzle an ox while it is threshing grain. And yet, within these strange and obscure sayings are layered implications. God is speaking to farmers about treating their animals with care. But Paul thinks he is also picturing for us something more, something deeper. He's including these things for us, not just for the farmer. He wants to teach us about something, about the way we should treat those who serve and care for us, who work on behalf of our soul. So when we read through the Old Testament and it seems unrelated to our everyday experience, i.e., how does muzzling an ox have anything to do with me? Or, what does it matter whether I write out a report of the land that God is wanting to give his people? When we read these things, we shouldn't dismiss them. We need to see them for what they are. Yes, he's speaking to the farmer, and yes, Joshua is speaking to the tribes of Israel. But God is speaking to us too. It was written not just for them, but for us too. God is pointing us to a deeper reading, and sometimes that is allegorical or analogous. In fact, many of the church fathers felt that a spiritual reading of Scripture was a higher form of engagement with the text. They welcomed this creative allegorical interpretation of the text, this deeper purpose that could be found here in these passages. Perhaps God would have us move forward in our faith and take more of the life he is wanting for us. Maybe there's a spiritual purpose of intentionality. Maybe God would have you chart out what He has in front of you. Maybe He would have you sit down and write out the boundaries of His blessings and gifts for you. Maybe you would find, as the children of Israel did, that there is unoccupied land and gifts yet to be realized in your life. There's a lesson in the ox. Paul said, "Wasn't he actually speaking to us?" Yes, it was written for us, so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect a share of the harvest. This whole Bible we are reading is written for us. It's not just about oxen and writing reports. It's about what God has done for us. It's about God giving us more of His life and us learning to live in it. Live with this principle of intentionality. Chart out what's in front of you and all that God has for you. When you do that, you will find unoccupied land, regions of your life where God's blessing is yet to be lived. Who knows what that report will read, but it will be good. And now let's pray together. Lord, God Almighty and Everlasting Father, You have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with Your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of Your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, You have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent Your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after You and find You. Bring the nations into Your fold. Pour out Your Spirit on all flesh and hasten the coming of Your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Loving God, we give You thanks for restoring us in Your image and nourishing us with spiritual food. Now send us forth as forgiven people, healed and renewed, that we may proclaim Your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ. Amen. DailyRadioBible.com. That's our home base out here on the interwebs, where you are always welcome to stop on by. We really are so grateful for all of you that come and share this time with us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you would like to receive our once a month email newsletter, go to DailyRadioBible.com. And you can sign up for it there. As always, Hunter will be back with you again tomorrow morning. But until that time, let's go forward. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and remember this: you are loved.